while we bring greater blessings to the people around us. So here are the five things. Here's the first one. Decide today to settle in for the long-haul financial. You've heard the phrase before, the idea there's no quick fix. This is one place where I guarantee you there is no quick fix. In the past weeks, we've talked about changes that we need to make in our lives, forgiving others, and it takes repeated effort to do that, changing our thoughts, and that's a matter of training our mind to think different, and taking control of our tongue and the things we say, and that's a matter of just continually keeping that in the forefront of watching our speech. This is the same thing today. It is not an overnight fix. It will not happen instantaneously. There is no one going to die and leave a will that's going to fix your financial priority problems, because even if you had all of that money, guess what? You would just have more problems than you had before. So if we are going to fix the financial problems and set the financial priorities, we have to realize that we are in this for the long haul. And one of the ways that you can settle it for the long haul is to become an informed person. Become as informed as possible about finances and money and what God asks and what God requires and how God says we need to utilize money. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 16 says this: every prudent man acts out of knowledge. In other words, to be prudent in our lives means we need to be knowledgeable in our lives. Except the fact now that learning about money matters will be a part of our life from now until forever. That we will never learn it all, we will never know it all, our financial situation will never be exactly what we want it to be or even what it ought to be, but daily we're working toward it and we're learning things that will help us to be and do what God wants us to be financially. You know, there are some people sitting here, quite frankly, that I know talking about finances are going to mark, I already know this, and you're on a, if you'll say it this way, you're on a master's level when it comes to finances. You're on a level, you've already learned some things and applied things in your life, and you're going to see the results of that. You know, the next things you learn are kind of up here on a master's degree level. You know, I'm on one of those where I need to buy the book Household Budgeting for Dummies, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And need to look down here and start. But you know what? It doesn't make a difference who we are at that level. We all have things that we can learn. And the first is we're in this for the long haul. That means that we are lifelong learners. That means we're not going to be half-hearted about it, but we're going to apply ourselves into this forever. Do you realize this? That if you went through the New Testament, especially the teachings of Jesus, do you know the subject that he talked about more than any other subject? The subject he talked about more than grace, more than forgiveness? The subject he talked about more than anything else was money. If you look at the lessons that he taught, oftentimes those lessons were tied to money. He teaches a lesson about a woman who lost a coin, and what does she do? She goes and sweeps it, she finds it. You know, there is a lesson that we see in Jesus when he went into the temple and he overturned the table of the money changers. Matter of fact, we have an interesting one yesterday. Part of keeping my mother-in-law happy yesterday on her birthday is we had the privilege to go with Gail's family to see the Dead Sea Scrolls that are now at Union Terminal Museum Center in Cincinnati. And Gail's brother, Linus, her youngest brother, Linus, was there. Linus yesterday had an aha moment. You ever had one of those, you know, where the light just goes like, oh, I got it? He had an aha moment. He was reading some things, and they were talking about, and he can use the scripture, Jesus overturning the money changer's table in the temple. And in there, it told of how there was money that was used generally, but then there was also a temple coin or a temple currency. And that currency was the currency that was used when you went to the temple. Therefore, part of the money changer's job was to take your currency, the Roman currency that day, and to exchange it for the temple currency. And all of a sudden, when he learned that, some of those verses and some of the scriptures just came in his mind and just made sense, because now he understood what Jesus was saying when he was saying that. That's one of those things where, as you learn, you go, oh yeah, that makes sense. I understand what God was saying. So decide, you're in this for the long haul. There's a second thing, and that is start paying attention to what you do with your money. So often, our money comes in and out quicker than you can ever imagine. You've had this before. You, and here's the term we use, you break a $20 bill. Now, if you're like me, when I get $20 bills and above, the above doesn't happen very often, but when I get $20 bills, those go in my wallet. The tens, the fives, the ones, those things, I just stick them in my pocket, you know? And so when I need something, I go to my pocket and pull that out and find out what that is. If there's not enough there, then I'll go to the 20. So here's the problem, though. As soon as I take a 20 out of my wallet and I break the 20 and I put it in my pocket, I don't know what happens, but the next time I go to my pocket to get it, it ain't there anymore. You ever had that? It's gone. And I go, where in the world did that go? And I frankly cannot tell you. So one of the things we can do is, and don't be crazy about this, but just spend some time for the next few days or weeks keeping up. Where do I spend my money? You will be amazed at where you spend your money. I know of a guy who started keeping track of that, and he realized that he was spending thousands of dollars a year on soft drinks. On soft drinks. And he thought, man alive, isn't there a better utilization of this money than to spend it buying Mountain Dew all the time? So kind of keep track. Where am I spending my money? Where is it going? Matter of fact, listen to what Proverbs chapter 27 says. Be sure to know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever. What's the writer saying? Find out how you're using your money. Let me give you a suggestion that I give oftentimes to people who are just getting married and they're starting to get finances and put them together and meld them together and that kind of thing. And I don't recommend this long term, but it's a good place to start. When you get your check, take the check and cash it. And have cash. One of the worst things I think that's ever happened to us when it comes to money and spending money is that little plastic card that's a debit card. Especially when they started taking those things at McDonald's and Wendy's and all those places. You know, it's so easy to slide that thing through, you know. You never think about it again. But take your money and cash it so you have cash. And then together, the two of you sit down and write out a budget, whatever the budget is. And take out of each of those checks the money that's required to meet that budget obligation. And put it in an envelope, and put it in a box, and hold on to it. So let me give you the quick example. One of the things we're all going to have is some kind of rent or mortgage, right? For most of us, we cannot make that payment or pay that rent out of one of our checks. It has to come from multiple checks, right? And so every time you get paid, if your rent is $500 a month, and you get paid twice a month, then you need to take $250 out of that check you just got, out of that cash, and put it in your rent envelope. The next time, take $250 out of a check and put it in the rent envelope. That way, when the rent is due, you have the money. Now, oftentimes recommend put the money and actually put it in the bank and write a check for it so that you have some kind of a documentation. But whatever the utilities are, if your utilities are going to be $200 a month or whatever they are, and you get paid twice a month, then how much is going to have to go out of each of those checks? You know, $100 out of each check needs to go in that envelope. And don't ignore this one. Entertainment. We are going to do entertainment no matter what. So don't forget that. So if you want to go to a movie and you've been putting the money in the entertainment envelope, you can go to the entertainment envelope and see how much is there. And that's going to tell you what you're going to do. If you go to the envelope and it's empty, guess what? You're not seeing that movie. But the bottom line to that is pay attention to where your money's going. It's a great way to learn how to budget. And then once you kind of learn the lessons, you can go back to doing what you have been doing in the past. But it helps you to keep track of your finances. and keep track of where they are going. And that's what the writer of Proverbs said. Pay attention to, pay careful attention to the condition of your earth, the things that you own. Here's a third one. Start putting money away today. Start putting money away today. In other words, start saving. Do you know, as Americans, we do not save very much. We do not plan for the future. Americans are all about today. We are about instant gratification. We are about doing it today. We are about having it today. That's part of the reason that credit card is such a big deal today. And we're not going to talk much about credit card debt today, because all of you have heard that, you all know it. But it all comes from and stems from this idea of instant gratification. I have to have it now. So what am I going to do? I'll put it on a credit card so that I can get it today. But on the other side, and alongside of that, we need to start saving today. I knew of a guy who had a strategy for saving. Here was the strategy. The online banking thing really helped this. Every day, he would go to his online banking account, and he would take some money and put it in his savings. Typically, it was only a dollar and whatever change was in there. So if his banking account said he had $1,024.92, he would usually take $1.92 and put it in the checking account. That would put it in the savings account. The next day, he would go and said that he had $957.38. He'd take $1.38 and he'd put it in the savings account. He said it was amazing. One, I never missed it. I didn't know that it was not in the checking account to spend anymore. He said, number two, you'd be surprised how quickly that grew. Solomon said this, Proverbs chapter 21. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. Most of us are in that last category, right? Be honest. We spend whatever we get. Solomon also said this. He who gathers money little by little makes it grow. In other words, save. There's a fourth thing you can do. Make every effort to get out of debt. And I hear the moans and the groans about, you know, how am I going to get out of debt? It's impossible. There's no way. It is possible. And it is one that can be done. It is one that will help us to get our finances together and to get them in line. Or, let me say it this way. If you don't totally get out of debt, at least get rid of the consumer debt. One of the things, quite frankly, Gail and I have been working on hard and diligently lately, and we are down to not a whole lot, to be honest, is getting rid of our consumer debt. You understand what consumer debt is, don't you? Credit cards usually are consumer debt. They're not long-term debt. Long-term debt is your house, that mortgage on your house, those kind of debts. For some people, long-term debt may be student loans, things that help them to get their education. You could probably say your vehicle could be long-term debt, but you know, it's those. Usually it's not those things that get us in trouble, are they? Usually it's the consumer debt. The debt that comes from credit cards and buying the furniture for the house and going down to Rent-A-Center and renting something and then having to pay it back at astronomical interest rates. It is that consumer debt that gets most of us. And so, do everything that you can to get out of debt. Statistics say that Americans carry about $750 billion just in credit card debt right now. Almost $1 trillion in credit card debt. And you know what? The credit card companies know it. They're putting commercials on that say things kind of like this. Airfare for two to Paris, $1,800. Rental for your private chalet, $650. An evening meal for two, $75. Sharing it with the one you love, what? Priceless. Yeah. It's going to get us in trouble where we won't be able to do anything else. Be careful about debt. Paul said this. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continued debt of one another. Eliminating debt is one of the best things we can do to help get our priorities in line. Then here's the fifth thing, the last thing. Give more this month than you gave last month. Give more this month than you gave last month. Now, I want you to think about this. If you put the first four in place that we've talked about, the last one is a natural. You see, if I were to ask any and all of us, would you like to be able to give more to the church? What would your answer be? Yeah. Would you like to be able to respond to United Way when they came by and said, can you help us? Your answer would be, oh yeah. What happens though is because of all that's happening over here and all this other debt that we have, all these things that are pulling at us, the things we would like to do, we can't do. So if we got the first four in line, the last one is easy. Give more of this month than you did last month. And as these things begin to come in line, then this one will come in. We have a tendency to say, I can't give anymore. You know, things are just so tight. And they are. But just take little steps. Maybe go back and look and say, okay, what did I give in January? Not just to the church, just what did I give? It's okay. February, I'll make a commitment. $1 more. March, I'll make a commitment. Just a little more. And see if through that we can't learn some lessons. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 3 says. Honor the Lord with your wealth. This is with the first fruits of all of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. And then it goes on to say in Proverbs chapter 22, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Or the scripture that we all know, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Do you get the progression? If we take care of the four here, it gives us the opportunity to do the one here and giving more. And then what does God do? God says, I will bless even more. Remember the story of the talents? The story of the guys that Jesus told us the world's lesson for you to learn. He talks about the three guys that came. And one he gave five talents, one he gave two, another he gave one. The one was scared, the one with the one talent, he was scared. And he went out and he buried it. The one with two talents just kind of held on to it. The one with five talents said, I'll use this the way that God wants me to use it. When he was called back to the master, the way the master wants me to use it, when he was called back to the master said, what have you done with these? The one with the one talent told him, I was afraid. You're a harsh guy, and I was afraid of what you may do to me if I lose the one. What did the master say to him? Guess what? You don't even have the one anymore. Took the one and gave it to the one with the most. The two, same thing. He had not used it wisely, so it was taken away. And then the one with the five talents, who had invested it properly, used it properly, who had actually grown the five talents, was given the talents of the other. If you get the four priorities in place, it allows you the opportunity to put the fifth in place. And then, get this, it gives God the opportunity to bless you even more. It's not that God does not want to bless you. It's that sometimes we shut the door so that he cannot bless. Go to Malachi chapter 3 again. What does it say there? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then what's the next line? What's the next word? Test. The only place in the Bible you've heard this, that God says, test me. He says, test me in this. And see if I will not, and the implication is, I'm going to do it. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. God says, test me in this. I could go on with this forever. You know, this is one of those where you think through the Bible. You ever notice that every time there's a promise in the Bible, there's also a command in the Bible. Have you ever noticed that? Anytime there's a promise where God says, I will, before that he says, you must. You see the I will and the you must right here? God says, I will open the floodgates of heaven, but you must bring the tithe into the storehouse. In the terms we're talking about today, you know what he's saying? He's saying, hey folks, get these four over here in line so that you can do the fifth. You do those, and then God says, I'll do my part. I'll do what I need to do to bless you. Paul said this, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. You see, when we talk about all this, sometimes we're over here and we're struggling. We're just going, God, I don't have it. I can't do that. God's poor with me. He said, I didn't take it. I didn't even give you the option. Can you not? He says, do it. And then I will. You see, as with all of these things, it's one of those things where we just have to say, okay, what's the final word? And sometimes we have to think, what if? And let me just ask you, as I end this morning, what if you put your finances together? What if the priorities in your money are what they should be? What if? What would your life be like right now if in the past you had put all those financial priorities in line with what you did? Where would you be then? What if you started to pray? Where are you going to be now? God, this is one of the subjects for all of us. It's just tough. Because this is one of those where, you know, we look at it and we go, I can't do it. It's just so tough. I don't have enough. I can't do it. And how am I going to put all these things in place? But we hear the promises from you, and we know that your promises are never fail, that you are never wrong. This is one of those where, quite frankly, we just have to stop and say, okay, Lord, I trust you. I am going to start doing these things, putting my priorities where they need to be, looking at what I'm spending, saving some, giving more than I've been giving in the past. And I trust you. I trust you to take care of my needs, to take care of the needs of my family, and to bless us so that we can do even more of what you call us and ask us to do. And God, just help us to relinquish that part of our lives, not to hold on to try to do it on our will or our desire the way that we want, but to do it the way we do us to. And be able to give and to put our financial priorities. Stand up. You know, when you talk about finances, one of the things you have to realize is that it's all God gave us. It belongs to Him. And therefore, we as His people need to just simply be grateful for all that He has given and all that He has done for us. And as our heart is grateful and thankful, then God takes those thanksgivings and turns them into blessings even for our life. Think about that.
I'm forever grateful. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to keep and save the Lord. Draw near to you, the source of the realm and the sea. You made my way for me to cry out to you, and let me hear your voice calling me. I'm forever grateful to you. I'm forever grateful for the cross. I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
Make sure when you think about financial priorities, you remember how much God has blessed you because of what He has given to you. Hey, I hope to see all of you next Sunday. Come and join us again. Bring a friend or family member with you. If this is your first time here, we're especially glad that you came to worship with us. Hope to see you again. Have a good week this week. Thanks for being here.
Hello.
She used to walk into her home. I used to look at her.
I'm dead.